First, an inspiring story of an NFL player helping tackle poverty made the rounds on social media this summer. It got almost 300,000 likes on Twitter for a fake account run by Russian online misinformation agents. The efforts of the Russian government to deepen America's social divisions through fake internet accounts came to light during the 2016 presidential campaign, and those efforts continue today. Our next guests say that positive, even uplifting posts are a key part of those efforts to identify their audience and build a following. Darren Linville is an associate professor of communications at Clemson University, and Patrick Warren is an associate professor of economics at Clemson. They've been researching Russia's activity on social media for the past few years. They recently wrote about this for Rolling Stone magazine. Darren and Patrick, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having us.
Good to be here, Rob.
Well, Darren, let's start with you. When we think of a Russian internet troll, or when I do, I think of, you know, somebody coming on and raising a ruckus and making a hard time. You write that, no, it's way more subtle than that. Often it's innocuous, fun-sounding stuff they're sending. Why?
Well, Patrick and I have spent the past couple of years studying Russian tactics and strategy on social media to answer just that question. And it is not as straightforward as people might think. They often will tweet out innocuous, very heartwarming, happy tweets to get people's attention, fundamentally. They're building a brand. They're establishing who they are. They're trying to communicate within very particular communities. And once they've got your attention, and once that happy tweet has been retweeted to other people, they'll get followers, and that is going to, you know, allow them to communicate to a broader range of people.
And Patrick, can you give us an example of one of these positive posts that are kind of sweeteners for these Russian accounts?
Yeah. Generally, they'll find a post that's already started to go viral in some other subcategory. So an example might be there was a tweet about Michelle Obama, that she was the most educated and
highly educated. She had degrees from Harvard and Yale.
The most highly educated first lady ever, and we should celebrate that. And we should, you know, we should celebrate that. But that's an example of the sorts of message they would send in order to try to pick up followers.
And then with go ahead.
Sorry, the double-edged sword about that Michelle Obama tweet that makes them particularly tricky is that when they're celebrating Michelle Obama, at the same time, they're subtly denigrating other first ladies who maybe aren't so well-educated.
And that makes it sound, Darren, like they're cultivating, the Russian hackers or trolls are cultivating different audiences that they're going to send different messages to.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. We've seen them communicate within, you know, the Black Lives Matter community quite effectively. They talk to MAGA America. They have accounts targeting LGBTQ communities, Blue Lives Matter conversations. They're very focused in who they're trying to reach, and they target these communities in order to push them in more extreme directions. And also, what's really frustrating is they target these communities in order to get them to be disgusted and more angry at the other ideological perspectives. So, you know, they create these divisions between the Black Lives Matter community and the Blue Lives Matter community and deepen them and entrench them.
And Patrick, I think it's important to emphasize, we're talking in the present tense here. A lot of people might think this was a 2016 story and then it was done. This is going on right now?
Absolutely. So just a couple months back, Facebook shut down about 50 accounts on Instagram. We've been talking, our work is mostly about Twitter, but they shut down about 50 accounts on Instagram that were pursuing this exact same strategy, and they attributed those to also emanating from Russia.
So what is the long game here, Darren? What do the Internet Research Agency or its successors want in these campaigns?
They want to divide us. They want to make us disgusted at one another. And the more we become disgusted at one another, the harder it is to compromise. The harder it is to govern our nation. The harder it is to move any agenda forward, whether it's on the left or right. As Patrick and I like to say, the more we're talking about what's happening on the U.S.-Mexico border, we're also not talking about what's happening on the Russian-Ukrainian border. The more divided we are, the better it is for Putin.
Patrick, when we're talking about us here, this is the United States. Are we the only country that's targeted by these Russian agencies?
Absolutely not. If you look back at the 2015, 16, 17 campaign, we found examples of accounts that targeted the U.S., Canada, Germany, Italy, Spain.
France, Egypt. Yeah.
And there's certainly no reason to expect that that – again, I know most about that campaign. There's no reason to expect that that stopped. There's a NATO strategic communication group that studies carefully Russian disinformation in Europe, and they continue to find numerous examples of these sorts of attacks in Europe as well.
I would add, too, it's not just Russia doing this on an international scale. It's also Iran, Venezuela, China. There's more and more state-affiliated actors in this space. Just recently, we spoke to the Wall Street Journal about a campaign that China was directing at the NBA, targeting Daryl Morey, the general manager of the Houston Rockets, who had the audacity to say something positive about democracy, specifically about democracy in Hong Kong. And the Chinese were able to create 1,000 brand new accounts on Twitter every day for a week. And the first thing each of those accounts did was tweet something awful at Daryl Morey. That's just an incredible undertaking.
Talking to Daryl Linville and Patrick Warren from Clemson University, looking at international social media influence efforts, especially from Russia, targeting countries like the United States and others around the world. Let's talk about what we can do about it. And let's start off as individuals, Darren. We're sitting at our computer or on our phone or whatever. How can we be more careful to make sure we're not helping a foreign influence campaign spread divisive messages?
Sure. It's very hard. You know, we've been doing this, looking at disinformation for a couple of years, and it's very difficult to distinguish between a real account, a real user in the real world, and something that's operated by a foreign country. But fortunately, you know, your response can be fundamentally the same, regardless of whether it's a real user or not. And that is, you know, we want to be careful not to retweet someone just because you happen to agree with the hashtag that they're using. Be careful when you're communicating with anonymous accounts. But also, just as important, we want to make sure that we're not dismissing somebody else or attacking somebody else and accusing them of being a Russian troll just because we happen to disagree with their perspective. I honestly believe that's been one of Russia's biggest impacts on American conversations is, you know, it's easy to just dismiss somebody now for being a Russian troll when really, we just don't like their ideas.
And can I add something?
Yeah, go for
can
it,
I add
Patrick.
Something to that? I think that we have this old idea that the right question you should be asking yourself when you're thinking about sharing something on social media is this true or not? Now, obviously, that's an important question. You shouldn't be sharing things that are not true. But there's another, I think, question that's important to ask, and that's why am I seeing this and who am I helping by sharing it? When you retweet something or when you share something on Facebook, you're kind of doing two things. You're spreading an idea, and that's the sort of true and false stuff. Like, is this a true idea or a good idea that I'm sharing? But then you're doing something else, too, which is that you're raising the prominence of someone or some actor. If I retweet you, your ideas get out there, but you also get out there. And I think you need to be careful about who you're getting out there. Who are you raising the prominence of? And do you really know who this person is, or is it just, you know, some generic photo on Twitter that you think you know what they, but actually, you know, once you stop and think about it, maybe you don't even know who this person is at all.
That's the level of the individual. Now, Patrick, how about social media companies themselves? As you guys have mentioned, they sometimes delete these troll accounts, but it sounds like a game of whack-a-mole. Could they be doing more to stop the spread of these kind of messages?
I think they could be doing more. I think they are doing more relative to what they were doing in 2015, 2016. I think that some of the things that get put forward, like things like political advertising bans, I'm not very enthusiastic about those sorts of measures. They wouldn't have done anything to this Russian intervention at all. They weren't using political advertising whatsoever. I think that some of the steps they've been taking on Instagram, affecting the degree to which you can basically raise the prominence of other accounts, are useful.
And Darren, as we wrap up, social media is a pretty new form of human communication by historic standards, and it's constantly changing. I mean, is this just a new reality that we're always going to be vulnerable to this kind of manipulation in an ever-changing environment?
Yeah, I mean, you're making a great point. This sort of manipulation isn't new. It's been in different forms for generations. But social media has really lowered the cost of entry for bad actors. I think we're going to see more and more homegrown disinformation, not just state operations. I've already seen more of it in my work. So, I think this is a new reality if we, really change the fundamental way we interact on social media.
We'll leave it there for now and keep watching this story. Darren and Patrick, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Darren Linville is an associate professor of communications, and Patrick Warren is an associate professor of economics at Clemson University. They talked to us about their research into Russia's professional internet trolls and how positive social media posts are a big part of those disinformation campaigns.